Welcome to You Need Therapy, the Happy People podcast, or in more realistic terms, the mental health podcast for young adults, where we talk about everything mental health related, and we have the conversations that no one wants to have because they're uncomfortable. So welcome to the community. I'm so glad you're here, and let's hop right in. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to You Need Therapy. My name is Emily. I am the host of this podcast, and I'm here to hold your hand through all the mental health ups and downs. But please don't get it twisted that I am a professional in any way and or that I have my shit together in any way, because I don't. I am off the rails in so many different ways. Okay. Anyway, if you're new here, thank you so much for tuning in and joining our little family that we have here. I hope you stick around. I hope you enjoy. If you're not new here, thank you so much for continuing to stick around and listen to each episode and just be amazing. And I love each and every one of you with my entire heart. So if you are new here, then you would not know that we start off each episode with what I like to call my life breakdown, which is where I just loop you guys in on what has been going on since we last had a little chit chat. And as always, if you want to share your life breakdown with me, or you just want to say hey, or you want to be best friends, or you need to vent and my phone went off, I'm so sorry. Or literally anything you just want to say, hey, my Instagram is linked in the description of the episode as well as the description of the podcast. I have both my personal and the podcast Instagram linked on there. I also have TikTok linked on there as well. So just message me on any of those and I promise to answer. It might take a 3 to 5 business days because I have not been getting on social media lately, but I will answer. I pinky promise, and I take pinky promises very seriously. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get on into the life breakdown. Okay. So if you listened to last week's episode, you would have known that I have been struggling a bit. I just recently got out of a pretty bad depressive episode that lasted for about 2 weeks, and I have also been struggling with my eating disorder and just everything. So I've been super low energy, I've been super low motivation, like everything. I've just been wanting to kind of rot in bed. But that all kind of turned around last week, and last week was the most productive week that I have had in a really long time. And I feel so good about it. And I also had 2 appointments last week. I had an appointment with my psychiatrist, and I also had an appointment with my therapist. Feeling really great. Silly little thing that we discovered when I was in therapy is that I might be bipolar. So I will keep you guys updated on that. My therapist and my psychiatrist are actually going to have a little meeting, a little chit chat, and see where we're going to go. So I will keep you updated on that, but that's a new little spicy plot twist for my life. So that's fun, but I feel like I've definitely gotten back on top of everything and gotten my motivation back, gotten kind of my like passions for things back, and just like the want to do things and pursue things and just be a girl boss. Okay. I have slayed, and I love slaying. What else is happening? Georgia's been getting a lot of thunderstorms, and I don't like that. If you don't know me, I am very scared of thunderstorms. I have bad storm anxiety, and so that has not been super fun for me. So fuck Georgia. If you could please stop having thunderstorms. It was so bad last night too. Like, I did not sleep well last night, guys, because it was just a going. Miss Girl Thunder said, we're not going to shut up tonight. And it was horrendous. So thank you, Georgia, for that. Oh my gosh. So last week, guys, I had what could possibly be the biggest audition of my life. This could be the role that completely launches my career, potentially, if I get it. So let's manifest that I get that role. Everyone, please, please, because I have never wanted something more. I've never needed something more. Like, I feel this burning in the depths of my soul. So let's manifest that I get it. Yeah, and then life is just gonna start getting crazy busy here. I mean, it already kind of is, but April and May and just, I think, these next few months are gonna be really busy, really crazy, really throwing me out of my comfort zone and routine, which I don't like, but also I'm trying to get better at being okay with change and getting out of my everyday routine. So we're gonna be good. We're gonna be good. But that does mean that there's no promises that episodes are gonna be consistent for the weeks/months to come. But I will obviously try my best to get up as many episodes as I can and keep talking to you. I have a couple episodes planned, so we're gonna have a few more, but they might just not be as consistent. Yeah, but that's all. Nothing really like super crazy is happening right now. So that's all that I have to share. Again, if you want to share your life breakdown, just message me and I would love to have chit chats with all of you guys. And without further ado, we're gonna get into this episode. Okay, so if you read the title of this episode, you would know that today we are talking about imposter syndrome. And now, usually for a topic like this, I would try to get like a specialist in this kind of condition to come on and talk about it. But A, it's not a big thing that gets talked about because it's actually not like an actual official diagnosis for it. And so I was kind of struggling on like finding a professional to come and talk about that. But then also I kind of just wanted to do my own research and kind of learn along with you guys, because I have honestly never heard of this. One of my friends, my beautiful friend Kendall, shout out to her, gave me the idea for this episode. And she was like, have you talked about imposter syndrome yet? And I was like, I don't even know what that is. I was like, I don't even know what that is. And so I did some research on it and I was like, oh my God, first of all, I have that. So I wanted to learn a lot more about it and I wanted to do my own research on it. And we're just gonna get into it. All of my research that I've gotten, I found from this article on the internet. It's from psycom.net. And it is a research article titled What is Imposter Syndrome? Again, on psycom.net. And it was, they interviewed Audrey Irvin, who is a psychologist and academic director of the graduate program in counseling psychology at Delaware Valley University. So she has some things to say about it. Yeah, so at first, let's talk about what imposter syndrome is and some common indicators that might point towards you having it. Because they technically, Audrey in this article was saying that they don't really want to call them symptoms because there's not a technical official diagnosis, but gave a checklist of common indicators. So yeah. So anyway, first of all, let's talk about what it is. So it's characterized by chronic feelings of inadequacy, incompetence, and fraudulence despite objective success. It's hard to internalize success and genuinely hold the belief that you're competent and capable. So it's like, regardless of your achievements or how hard you're working, you constantly feel like you're failing behind the curb, just like not doing it. And if anyone like recognizes that you're working well, that you're doing hard work, that you're, you know, successful, and they like talk to you about it, your brain is kind of gonna go, oh my gosh, well, I've fooled another person. I've continued to fool people to look like I'm successful and thriving, and eventually the, you know, it's gonna be up, and we're gonna get discovered sometime. So it's like it's a lot of self-doubt, but it's on like a, heightened level of self-doubt. And like anyone can have it. Actual ability and achievements have no bearing. It literally doesn't matter if you're like the most successful person or not. Your brain could still play this on you and be like, whoa, you suck. Okay. And it's been proven that driven personalities and like people at the top of the ladder are almost more vulnerable to imposter syndrome. And this is what really stuck out to me, because this was kind of where I was like, whoa, I think this is me. Because I've always said this, I consistently held myself at an extremely high level. Like, I've always had super high expectations for myself, and almost expectations that aren't even achievable. And then, so I don't ever reach those goals half the time. And then I'm like, oh my God, I'm a failure. I suck. But I still continue to hold myself to that level, to those expectations, regardless. And I think that's really interesting. So if this sounds like you, you're not alone. And it's estimated that actually 70% of people will experience at least one episode of imposter syndrome during their lifetime. So, you're right. Most of us got it. And then Audrey Irvin wanted to point out that there was a big difference between imposter syndrome and self-doubt, because there's nothing wrong with occasional self-doubt, but it's kind of the big key difference between self-doubt and imposter syndrome is frequency. So it's A, like, ask yourself, is it developmentally appropriate? Because like adolescence is a time characterized by self-doubt, but is your self-doubt developmentally appropriate, and is it a persistent, nagging, ongoing experience, or is it temporary situational experience? Because everyone's gonna like experience self-doubt at some point. We're human beings, that's what's gonna happen. But if it's like constantly nagging, has it been throughout your whole life? And that's what, again, also stuck out to me, is because I have been that way since I was little and continue to be that way regardless. So if it's an everyday occurrence, I feel ya. So the next thing that I wanted to talk about was the quote unquote symptoms, or the little checklist that we have of common indicators. And, you know, maybe go down the list with me and check these off and be like, oh, do I have it? Do I have it? Probably. So it's, first of all, it's frequently associated with trait anxiety, generalized anxiety disorder, and social anxiety disorder. So you're going to have anxiety. Most people with imposter syndrome are going to have anxiety. The next indicator is pervasive self-doubt characterizes your past, current, and future experiences. So like that self-doubt is just the star of every experience. And you feel like you suck in everything all the time. Next is that you experience a persistent fear that you're going to be found out or discovered as a fraud in spite of objective successes. So you feel like all of your successes are fakes. You're a fake. Somebody's gonna eventually find out and be like, oh my God, you actually suck and you've been lying to us this whole time. You're like, oh my God, yeah, I have. And they're like, we would have never known. You literally have like the Nobel Prize, but you absolute fake. And you're like, oh my God, I know. The next one is when you achieve success, you attribute it to luck or describe it as a fluke. You might feel relief or even distress in place of happiness and pride. This just sounds like it's just they went through my brain. And then the last one is you look for validation in authority figures such as a boss or a family member and give them the power to dictate whether you are successful or not. So you're like, oh, if my boss is proud and happy with my work, then I'm doing well. Then I'm being successful. Oh, but now they're not. So I failed completely and I suck. That's how I feel with like just every person that knows me. Okay. Yeah, so that's, if that sounded like you, you're not alone. Me freaking too. This is actually, I'm pretty sure we weren't talking about it like in saying that it was imposter syndrome, but like pretty sure we were talking about this in therapy on Wednesday. And I was like, because I was like, I just feel like a failure. Like I'm just not doing well. And like everything that I do is a screw up. And I was like, even though I've done this and I've done this and I'm working on this and like they're all pretty big achievements that I should be proud about, I was like still like I just suck. And my therapist was like, Emily, what the heck? She's like, you literally just listed out all these things that you should be really proud of, like that's really good and shown how hard you worked and what you've been doing in your achievements. And I was like, yeah, I know, but like even though I can like logically list them out and like know that I've done them, it just doesn't, it like, I don't know, if I feel like imposter syndrome is this like constant nagging of like never feeling like it's enough, like regardless of how many achievements you have or how many times you're successful or anything, like it's just never enough to be at that level that you've constantly held yourself to. And you know what I mean? Because that level isn't actually attainable. You can't ever get to that level. It's unrealistic. Which is why you continue to feel like you're failing. Ugh, what a silly little, sneaky little way for the brain to work. Okay, so the next thing that I thought was really interesting on this article, and I thought was definitely worth talking about, was they had a part that was talking about who is susceptible to imposter syndrome. Because obviously, you'd initially think that just about everyone, which is true. Studies suggest that imposter syndrome is experienced equally by both genders. So it's not higher in like women than it is in men, which a lot of times we associate women with imposter syndrome, like especially when it comes to like high achieving women, but the studies have been saying that men and women feel it equally. But they did say that one group does appear especially vulnerable to imposter syndrome, and that is minorities. Minority stress can contribute to imposter syndrome, Irvin said. So she said, coupled with a lack of representation and discrimination, the effects of imposter syndrome can feel nearly insurmountable. After all, how do you wrestle with your own self-doubt when society is also telling you that you don't belong? So minorities kind of have this double whammy when it comes to this, because they have their own brain telling them that they're not doing enough, that they don't belong, that they are failing. And then you have society. And society, let's talk about it, is kind of a giant bitch telling them that they don't belong and they're not doing enough and that everything they do is wrong. So they kind of have both like ends of the spectrum there telling them the same things. So making sense as to why minority stress can contribute to imposter syndrome. And I like there's a little definition next to minority stress on what it is. So if you don't know what it is chronically high levels of stress faced by members of stigmatized minority groups. I love that. I love when they include definitions to make things clearer. How fun. So yeah, definitely minority groups would obviously be more vulnerable to it. Which I think was this. I literally think all of this is interesting because this is my first time learning about it. So we're learning along together today. But I also think it's interesting because they have a list of like causes, which I feel like you would initially think your own cause is just like your own brain. But they are saying that family background can have quite a big impact on this. And they're saying, or one theory is that imposter syndrome is rooted in families that value achievement above all else. So, you know, if your parents are only telling you that they're proud of you and that they love you when you win the soccer game, when you win the spelling bee, when you get good grades on tests, when you do these things right and you make these achievements, so that's the only time you're getting told that, you know, your parents are proud of you, instead of just getting told that they're proud of you and love you just for the fact that you exist, you know? If you have that family that values achievement above all else, that is definitely going to play into, you know, being more vulnerable to imposter syndrome. And then it is also saying that if you come from a family that are characterized by low support and high conflict also. And then Irvin also suggests that we might look to our culture as a whole for answers. Meaning, United States tends to have a more individualistic as opposed to collectivist culture. So there's this huge pressure to be successful and to achieve. And I think that lays into a lot of like the American dream and hustle culture and stuff like that. And those expectations that lay on us and to be at the top of everything and to go all the time. And if you're not, you're failing. And if you rest, you're failing. And if you don't do it exactly how everybody else is doing it and how society wants you to do it, you're failing. So, fuck society. And, yeah. Next. What do you think about? I don't even know, guys. I'm all over the place. I'm very tired right now. I'm not gonna lie to you. And this is throwing me off. Okay. So that is all the stuff from the article that I wanted to talk about and kind of my research that I did on it. But then I kind of want to talk about my personal experience with it as well as what I kind of have been talking about with my therapist on overcoming it and everything like that. So like I said, I think I've been talking to my therapist about this for a while without fully knowing what it actually was. But this is like kind of a constant conversation that we're having, is this feeling of that I'm failing and that I'm not doing enough and that I'll never be doing enough and that, you know, it's all I suck and I'm a failure regardless of what I've done and regardless of what we have pointed out that I've done. And so we actually on Wednesday had a talk of like, what if every time you start to have these thoughts of that you're failing, like regardless of what it's kind of related to, whether it's like career-wise, whether it's like body image and like fitness and that stuff, or like whatever it is, like kind of write down, like kind of make a list of everything that you have done. So for like example, for career stuff, it's like, oh, I feel like I'm failing, I'm behind, I'm not doing enough, it's not gonna work out. Like, start listing all the achievements within your career that you've already, you know, made. Like, everything that you've already accomplished within your career. And if you list it and if you really focus, you're going to kind of be able to visually see that there's probably a lot more than you think of when you initially think of that. And, you know, if it's like, if it's for body, if you're someone who's struggled with eating disorders and you're trying to recover, if you're someone trying to get better at, you know, moving your body every day and exercising, like, and you're hating on your body, like, make a list of all the things that your body does for you. You know, it's strong. It allows you to go places. It, your eyes allow you to see. Your brain allows you to think and sleep and, you know, your smile and you laugh and you're able to hear jokes and you're able to hug loved ones. Like, all these little things to put into perspective, because I think one of the biggest things to overcome imposter syndrome is kind of to reframe your thinking. And so I think it's really helpful when you have, if you have like a physical list, like something visual to see that, hey, maybe I'm doing better than I'm giving myself credit for. Because that's the big part of reframing your thinking. And then embrace that. Like, once you have that list, once you have those things you can see, embrace that. Because I feel like we're always taught to be humble and don't brag about stuff and blah, blah, blah. Which absolutely, like, be humble. Don't be a dick. Obviously, that's bragging 24/7. But also allow yourself to feel proud for yourself. Okay? And, like, also validate even little ones. Like, don't, when you're making these lists, when you're going through these things and remembering what you've done, don't just do the big ones, the huge, like, milestones. You know, the little ones are just as important. Every win is a win. And so, you know, sit with those and let yourself feel proud about anything that you've done that you feel has pushed you towards a goal, a different goal. And then just, I think self-compassion is literally like the key answer for majority of things in life, because we have, human beings are so hard on themselves. Like, obviously we've all heard that saying, like, you're your own worst critic. And it's so true. Like, we are so hard on ourselves constantly. And especially if you have imposter syndrome and you're feeling this constant failure and needing to, like, one up yourself every single day, that's not being kind to yourself. You're constantly going to be in competition with yourself then and hating on yourself. And so, you know, just show self-compassion. Remember that you have feelings and that you're doing amazing, and you need to celebrate yourself, and you need to celebrate the little wins, and you need to remember that you're doing so well. Regardless of where you're at, you're doing well because you've made it another day and you're trying your best, and that's all that matters. And I will always remind you that even if all you had to give today was 40% and you gave that 40%, you gave 100% because you gave all that you could. As long as you are getting up and you're trying your best and you're being gentle to yourself and you're being kind to others and you're making it through the day, that's all that matters. You're doing amazing. You're so, so, so strong. You matter so much. I'm so glad that you're here. I love you so, 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 so much. And I will talk to you guys in the next episode.